Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
The topic of this show is couple trouble, relationship on the rocks. Are you worried that your relationship is in trouble? Whether you are married, living together in a partner relationship, in a monogamous relationship, or just determining whether you want to continue dating someone, you can tell when there is a red flag approaching. You begin to sense your own unhappiness or your partner's unhappiness. Things are just not the same as when you first started that relationship journey together. Even if you have been married for a long time, you somehow feel that the relationship pattern of your lives has changed, and not for the better. We are going to examine the distinct warning signs of couple trouble, from the very serious signs to the not so serious. In other words, when you should go, and when you should stay. Let's get started. So here is the pushy broad from the Bronx giving you the push you need to decide whether or not your relationship is on the rocks, whether or not you should end it, or whether or not you can discover these things and decide to put your relationship on the mend. What do couples fight about behind closed doors? How do they address it? Some studies have shown that sex and money are the two leading causes for divorce, but sometimes studies don't always tell the whole story. As a life coach, when I work with couples in handling their relationship, sometimes neither sex nor money comes up at all. I understand that relationships are complex, and no two marriages are the same. But there are some common things that I see as a life coach over and over again. So maybe this applies to you, and maybe you can find ways to overcome these communication troubles. So here is the pushy broad from the Bronx giving you the push you need to decide whether or not your relationship is on the rocks, whether or not you should end it, or whether or not you can discover these things and decide to put your relationship on the mend. First, I want to call to your attention some of the big deal breakers in whether or not you decide to stay in a relationship. Your relationship is most definitely on the rocks if you are subjected to any kind of sexual, emotional, verbal, or physical abuse that cannot be tolerated. Those kinds of abuse are a partner's attempt to gain control over you, and that is not acceptable. So if you feel that any of those things are occurring, I need you to not make excuses for that behavior and get out. It is extremely important that you recognize abuse. If you cannot recognize it, but you suspect it is happening to you, I need you to seek help and talk to somebody. Do not keep this to yourself. Abuse is the number one reason why you should leave a relationship. Let's see what Richard and I have come up with that could be other deal breakers in relationship on the rocks. Anger that produces rage that is uncontrollable is not anywhere near where you want to be. How a person handles their emotions says a lot about that person. Rage is a sign that there are some major defects when it comes to their emotional management. If you see signs of rage, this is early in the relationship, then the prognosis is really bad. Break that deal and get out. If you see signs of rage developing within the relationship, absolutely let go of it. And if you are the one that is raging, I need you to move away from people that you can harm and go seek help. Rage is a deal breaker. We'll be right back. You're listening to Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Everybody needs a little push. On TransformationTalkRadio.com and podcast stations everywhere. 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, let's talk about some of the other telltale signs that your relationship is on the rocks. And there's another big one I want to talk about. Richard, can you guess what this one is?
My guess would be that it's probably in some form of addiction.
You're right.
Right? And I'm thinking, you know, obviously if someone's starting to drink a lot more often, take drugs more often, I mean, those are probably big signs that they're not happy, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Not only not happy, but you need to actually look at this early on, because addiction can manifest itself in the beginning of a relationship, before the relationship started, or happen during a relationship. You have to look for these signs. But there are other forms of addiction too.
Is there? Well, yeah, I think a lot of people expect that drugs and alcohol are probably all that has to do with addiction, but based off of some of the things you have considered as well, I mean, it can be, I mean, I can imagine overeating is a big one. Overspending, I would imagine, is another one. Probably any situation where you're doing in compulsive manners, and I would imagine it's probably due to some kind of unhappiness.
Yes, or if you see somebody not facing their financial responsibility by compulsive gambling, or they're right. having pornography issues, or they're video gaming all day long, anything that constitutes an abnormal situation, an abnormal compulsion, does not fall within the parameters of normal social activity. And when it's done to excess, is directly interfering in the relationship. You must wave the red flag when it comes to addictions and make sure that if it's you are getting help around it, or your partner is getting help around it. And if they continuously decide not to get help around it, then you have to decide whether or not this is a deal breaker. And I urge you to take that seriously. Now that we've talked about the obvious big three that could be the immediate deal breakers and could tend to put your life or your children's life or your family in jeopardy, there are other things that will tell you that your relationship may be sinking and may need work. So let's cover some of them. Richard, what do you think would be another important thing?
I'd say being deceitful and just lies are a pretty, pretty big sign that your relationship is not headed in a good direction at all.
You're absolutely right. Being lied to, being sneaky, cheating, that's not a cool thing.
I think cheating, obviously, people are going to... I think, yeah, of course, cheating is going to be the big one that a lot of people can relate to and look for when it comes to lying in a relationship. But there could be so much more than that, too, you know? It doesn't have to be, of course, just cheating. It can be, right, as you would know, Ellen, just so many... Be it just sneak around with, you know, financial things, be it whatever other activities that they're doing that could be harmful to the relationship. That doesn't necessarily have to do with cheating.
Right. You don't necessarily have to be sleeping around with somebody else, but you can turn around and say, you know, I was out going to the gym when you were really going to the movies. Or you can say, I didn't spend any money when I spent money. I mean, all of those things.
Right.
Just generally lying, being deceitful, not telling your partner where you are, and finding that you're catching this person in some kind of lie or deceitful behavior on a regular basis.
Right.
Only you can decide how much you will put up with. It may not be the deal breaker, but you have to decide how many times you will be lied to or be deceived before you say what's going on here. And then eventually, if it continues, say, I'm done with this. I'm not going to put up with this. So that's really, really a big thing. There's no question. What is also another big thing is what we have talked about a little bit before and will continue to do, and that is avoidance. When somebody's avoiding something, okay? You're never really going to meet the perfect person, but you really have to know that when you ask somebody to sit down and discuss things, they're going to do that.
Right.
Don't you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, if one partner is refusing to address the fact that they have an issue that is not only hurting the emotional feeling of their partner, but just overall their relationship, and they're not growing from it, that is avoidance, and that's not healthy for the relationship. It's not healthy for them, but just in this conversation alone, it can be really, really damaging to their partner. It has to and wants to be with them at all times.
Yes, and look, I know that men don't like to talk about feelings as much as women do in general in a heterosexual relationship.
Sure.
Or maybe there is one partner in the relationship, whatever it is, that likes to talk about feelings more.
Right.
But it's not only feelings that make people avoid situations. Maybe there's a financial issue that has to be discussed that somebody's avoiding.
Right.
Maybe there are responsibility issues that somebody is discussing that is being avoided. And when that happens and you always feel that you have to pull teeth in order to get somebody to sit there and talk to you about something, that's a sign that somebody's running in the other direction.
Yeah, if you guys can't even stay together to fix your problems.
Yeah, then it's time to do something about it. The other thing I see a lot is when one person is codependent over the other person. And of course, codependent people base all of their confidence and self-esteem on the people around them or on their partner. They cling and they're needy and desperate for affection no matter what cost.
Right.
How many people like to be in relationships where the other person is needy and clinging?
Not most people that I know of. I don't think anybody does.
Have you ever been in that kind of relationship where you found that the person you were with was a little too clingy?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it comes off, it reminds me a lot of these times when there are codependent relationships, it kind of makes people, it makes them kind of go back to what we were just talking about. It makes them kind of avoid problems. Because a lot of people look at it and they don't want to handle it anymore. Some people want to run for the hills when one partner is extremely codependent. You know, just speaking from personal experiences, I've had relationships where I've had very codependent partners, and it's made me want to do that. It's made me want to kind of avoid the relationship, and it made me not want to be around them because they were just so on top of me at all times, wondering what I was doing, where I was. They, you know, they needed so many basically affirmations from me that I was with them, that I liked them, that I cared for them, and it became almost
suffocating.
Yeah, I think that's a good word. That's a great word.
That's what happens in a codependent relationship. You begin to suffocate from the weight of not only taking care of yourself, but it's practically like you're taking care of another person. Like all of a sudden, you're walking around with somebody on your back.
At all times. And it's
at all times. Watching your every single move.
Right.
And you know what the most awful signs that two people should not be together, and that's when both people are codependent.
Right.
On each other.
Or they need to carry each other. You know, I think if I could use a metaphor for a second, I don't think people want someone to walk beside them, not walk up above them and watch them at all times. People don't want to carry other people. People want a partner. And there's no equality there. It just feels like you just said, it's exactly like you just said, Ellen. It feels like we're taking care of a whole nother person. And as an adult with life and responsibilities to handle, that could be really suffocating, really tiresome, really fast.
Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Right? Enough is enough. You don't want that other person to be so dependent upon you for your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, so that they can be happy. It is absolutely holding on to where the relationship is now parasitical. One is feeding off the other rather than symbiotic, where there are two people that are approaching each other copacetically. So that's a very big deal. And now sometimes codependency goes hand in hand with another big reason your relationship might be sinking, and that is control. If you have somebody trying to control you, what are you doing? Where are you going? This is what you should be doing now, right?
Right.
This is where what your chores should be.
They seem to go hand in hand with codependency a lot, though.
Yes.
Because it's very much, you know, it's about me. Where are you? Aren't you supposed to be doing this with me? What are you doing? At what time and when and where? Everything has to synchronize with what the other person wants.
Yes. And it's not always the case, though. There are many codependent people that are not controlling, and their partners are also not controlling. Control is most of the time, or lots of times, a separate issue.
Really?
Yeah. It really is. I mean, for a healthy relationship to exist, everybody has to have a certain amount of freedom. And that means two people need to live in trust with each other. And the opposite of that trust and freedom is control, where everybody needs to know where everybody is at every minute, and many, many couples find that they can't do things without each other.
Right.
I have to be with you.
I'm jealous if you spend time with anybody else, and I want to control your every move. I have to choose your friends. I have to choose your tasks, your responsibilities, the things that we see and do. I have to make plans. I'm the one in charge. If you're in a situation or a relationship where there is one person in charge, stop. Take a good look at what you're looking at. And if you think you have to be the one in charge in a relationship, then you need to stop. And realize that you will not be in a healthy relationship for long, because the person that you're with won't put up with this for very long.
We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward, and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. We're talking about
Relationship on the Rocks and Couple Trouble, and the many signs that you have to look out for to tell whether or not your relationship is in serious trouble.
You know, I have another point that I think you would agree with pretty strongly, Ellen. I think a lot of relationships that are probably headed south and headed in a bad way often lack a lot of boundaries.
Absolutely.
And I think it's so funny when you talk about like control and things like that. I think that's kind of like a result of lacking boundaries, you know, not being able to respect what the other partner is comfortable with, what they wish to have in a comfortable and healthy relationship. And having someone who doesn't trust them, doesn't allow them to live their own life every day and wants to control. And I think that is a sign of a serious lack of boundaries.
You're absolutely right. And I see that a great deal as well. And don't you think for one minute that any of the things that we're talking about, if you find this in a relationship and you're about to walk down the aisle with somebody that has any of these traits, don't you think for one minute that all of a sudden these things are going to go away just because you have the bonds of matrimony? In fact, some of them may get worse. So if these are telltale signs, then you had better take a serious look at what's happening in your relationship. Because if you're not happy, why bother? Another big sign that your relationship is doomed or on its way out is, you know, I've heard the term so much recently, and it's been a political term and it's been a relationship term. I think my partner's a narcissist.
Yeah.
Right? I think my partner's a narcissist because they're so self-absorbed. You know, this may be subtle, but it can be really intrusive in a long-term relationship.
You know, I completely agree with you, Ellen. If someone is so self-absorbed to themselves, I mean, how the heck can the relationship grow for the both of them? You know, can you imagine being with someone and they are completely and solely focused on themselves? They don't address any issues that they have, and they can do no wrong. How can that make their other partner happy in any way? I mean, that's just leading to a fight.
It is. And look, there are lots of narcissists that also make their partners happy. It's not, you know, it's not only that, but it's in a situation where if you're a partnership, that means there are two of you involved in the decision-making process. There are two of you, which means you both have to care about the other person. And sometimes, just sometimes, that means that you have to put some of your needs on the side and compromise with someone else. Not make sacrifices. Not sacrifice yourself, but compromise so that not always does your needs come first. And that's very difficult for a narcissist. A narcissist is centered around how they're feeling, that they're responsible for everything, that they take credit for everything in the relationship. And that is something that is extremely difficult to live with and may very well be a deal breaker. Now, the opposite of that in most instances is to be too passive in the relationship, or be passive aggressive, where you're throwing little digs in that person, kind of backdoor digs. You know,
right, which doesn't help anything either.
Not
it's just
at
like,
all. Not ugh. At all. That is, you know, showing an open contempt for somebody, which is also part of what makes a relationship not work. When you don't speak up at all, so that your partner feels that they're the only one in the relationship. You have no opinion other right. than your partner's opinion, right? There are never any arguments. I can't tell you how many clients say to me, we never fight. We must be in a really good relationship.
Right.
That doesn't make 1 + 1 = 2, as far as I'm concerned. Never right. fighting doesn't automatically equal a great relationship.
It could mean a really bad one if you're not.
It could
discussing
mean a really
anything.
Bad exactly because you're not talking about anything, or you know your partner has so much built up resentment or contempt, or so much anger that they don't even want to bother working it out.
No, they just want to stay petulant and angry, and that's that. It doesn't solve the problem at all.
Right. Or they're so passive that they have not gone their entire life really being the person that they should be.
No.
So one can say, well, just because we don't fight doesn't mean that, you know, does that mean that we have a great relationship? Who the hell knows? talk about a little more. See if you do have that relationship.
Yeah.
But passivity is just as big a relationship deal breaker as having too much control or being too aggressive. What I'm trying to say is that this relationship, this podcast is about, is your relationship on the rocks? So if you are appreciative of all the things that this relationship has brought you, then fine. But if your relationship begins to change in these ways, if all of a sudden you see signs that you did not see before, that you are not used to, then your relationship could very well be in trouble. Another way that a relationship can be in trouble is if you get constant criticism from your partner. How does that make a person feel?
Awful. It's kind of the opposite of passive. I mean, you imagine constantly and constantly, constantly being criticized. No compliments, no positive feedback, no assurance. That can be really discouraging for a partner.
Right, just like it was when you were a kid. If mom and dad don't tell you they're proud of you and they're constantly criticize you,
you don't want to be a part of that relationship. You're not going to care.
Exactly.
So, or you'll look for your positive feedback elsewhere, it seems like.
Exactly. And if you are constantly criticizing your partner, don't expect that person to stay with you, for God's sakes. That's the worst thing you can do, because it shows a complete lack of respect. And if they constantly criticize, especially for the smallest things, it could drive somebody crazy.
Right.
Like, enough already. Leave me alone.
And I think that could lead to another aspect that is really harsh, really damaging to a relationship, is the fact that arguments can escalate very quickly. And could you imagine, I mean, just having a partner constantly on your case about something? You guys, I can imagine someone would explode after a while. And that could be a really chronic kind of go-to reaction when a partner is trying to tell you something, that just get angry and just argue.
Yeah, enough already. Leave me alone. You're constantly criticizing me.
And there you go.
I mean, it constantly. Right. I mean, if you're constantly getting into arguments and they're constantly escalating quickly, and even if they're not escalating, but they're constantly critical, and if you're constantly bickering back and forth.
Right.
I mean, really, you know. But sometimes I see that, you know, couples are married 30, 40, 50 years and they're older and they constantly bicker back and forth. And then, you know, they stay together and that's okay. But that's not enriching a relationship. That's not the tools you want, especially in developing a relationship.
Right. It feels like it's settling.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if you get used to, if you get used to it over 30, 40 years, that's up to you. But your relationship should not be based on bickering or critical, criticism.
I agree.
It can't be based on that.
It's not about building people down. It's about building people up.
Another way that you can tell if your relationship is on the rocks is if you start to imagine things in your head, like what I call imagine fears. You assume the worst. Because the person that you become an insecure person around this relationship.
Yeah, and I've seen that a lot. You know, I kind of goes with the technology that we have, especially today, that, you know, just exasperates that human need of instant gratification. People, can you imagine, you know, I've seen it. People get crazy. My so-and-so hasn't answered me in 3 hours. I wonder if they're cheating on me or something.
Isn't that amazing?
Right.
If you constantly go to, I assume the worst in my partner because he's not right there in front of me, or you, and that shows a distrust for the other human being. And right. More importantly, if that partner hasn't done anything for that distrust, what does it say about you? How insecure are you?
Right.
You're making up scenarios in your head that don't even exist because you have to hold on to somebody, and that will automatically ruin whatever good relationship it is.
Absolutely. It might even lead people to doing what you're accusing them of.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yes. Well, you think I'm doing it, so, and you're bothering me about doing it, so now I'm going to do it. You'll have something to be bothered about.
Of course.
That happens all the time.
But you know what, Ellen?
On spikes.
That actually reminds me of another issue that can be, it's really a bad sign for a relationship. It's kind of like when they take past relationships and scenarios and bring it to the present, like, well, you know, I used to date someone who they wouldn't text me hours at a time, and it turned out that they were cheating, so I'm assuming that you are. And it's just, it's very, very difficult to put that kind of judgment on somebody else, just assuming that they would do that, you know?
I know. I get clients all the time that say, I have to go into this relationship with my eyes open because I've been burned before.
Right. That's a perfect term. I've been burned before,
oh,
so I'm not going to get burned
God,
again.
I hear that all the time. And you know what I say to those people? If you don't want to take the risk about being burned again, then don't have a relationship. Don't go for it.
That's
at
simple.
All. Do not take the risk. Only risk carries reward. There is no way of telling whether or not you're going to be burned. But if you go into it with all of those boundaries and all of your baggage, and you try to second guess and manipulate the new relationship so that you do not get hurt, don't do it. Don't have it. Right? Love is risk. Love is reward. If you're not going to be open, honest, genuine, and vulnerable the next time around and allow yourself that vulnerability, then you're not ready for another relationship.
Agreed.
At all. Don't you think?
I agree.
Taking Hold your ghosts on. Of past relationships and bringing them into your present is not going to serve anybody. And you're not going to make the right choices because you yourself aren't going about it in the right way. And then what happens is you start the relationship, and another sign of you're not doing well is that you begin to develop contempt. And
right.
Your partner begins to develop contempt because now you're judging each other.
Right.
Right? It's no longer a natural thing. It's like, I'm going to walk on eggshells when I say this because my partner is going to interpret it in a certain way.
Right. Which is
Or what is
so
he really saying? What does he really mean? I mean, give me a break.
Right.
Right? That develops a mistrust and a contempt, and that's a sign that your relationship is sinking. And then everything else starts to go. I mean, when you see that sex is not the same as it was before,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean the kind of sex that you have in the beginning where you want to sleep with each other every 5 minutes and then it just slowly, you know, nurtures itself and it moves into a comfortable relationship.
Right.
I mean where if you were having sex before and you're not having any now and one partner makes excuses for why they don't want it, sex is one of the biggest signs.
Right.
And money is another big sign.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, there are too many bills to pay, the stress of money in financial relationships. Where is the money going to come from? We never have enough money. Is it your money? Is it my money? Is it our money?
Right. And you know what else? Speaking of money, it reminds me of another kind of small sign about when they start doing less things for you with their money, you know, because I've seen relationships where people, you know, they go out to nicer dinners in the beginning, a few more gifts here and there, and it starts to dissipate. Maybe perhaps because one partner isn't as concerning anymore. They stop doing some of the things that they love to do together or love to do for their partners. And I think that's not a good sign. It's just
yes.
leading.
Yes. You know, in the beginning, you bring so much to a relationship. You were genuinely interested in the other person. You are genuinely interested in trying to make that person happy.
Right.
To go out of your way and plan certain things, have fun together. When you stop doing the things you love, and now you're just sitting on the couch all day and doing nothing. I mean, if you love to watch TV, great. Then you're sitting there holding hands and smiling into each other's eyes as you're sharing a bowl of popcorn. That's great.
Cool.
But if you don't do the things you love anymore, then there are reasons for that.
Right.
And in the scheme of things, to continue on that, when now you start socializing completely separate from each other.
Right.
Right?
It creates a void
right in the
middle.
I'm going out with my friends, you're going out with your friends, and we're not going out with our friends together.
Right. See you later.
Right. There's nothing wrong with I'm going to have my poker night or my gambling night, you know, whatever it is, or I'm going to have my movie night with the girls or my, you know, going out for a dinner with the girls or whatever. But if you're only socializing away from each other, big red flag. Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Something's absolutely going on.
You guys
on.
Don't like each other as much, or so
right.
it seems.
Right. And also when that happens, not only there, but your communication starts to go away.
Right.
And you're not really talking anymore to each other. Not with each other. You're just talking at each other. And your conversations only center around what's happening with the kids or what's happening in a perfunctory level. And in every other sense, one or the both of you seems to withdraw.
Right. And communication, though, is such a powerful tool for in a relationship to grow more, to dissipate any issues that you might have. And I can only imagine that when the communication isn't on a similar level, it leads to so many other awful things, like people arguing about the same thing over and over and over. You imagine a relationship, if they had good communication, wouldn't they resolve that issue in the moment? Wouldn't they discuss it thoroughly, handle it on each other's
until
plane?
Until it gets resolved.
Exactly.
And that's another reason. If you keep talking about the same things over and over and over again, it wears two people down.
Right.
You become exhausted.
And you just don't want to deal with it anymore.
Right. So you withdraw, and then one person gives the other person the silent treatment, and then you go upon days not talking to each other. And that's not the way to contain or to hold on to a relationship. And then what, you know, eventually happens is you don't feel comfortable with them anymore. You don't feel comfortable opening up to them. You don't feel you can't be vulnerable with them anymore, because you feel that you're going to be criticized, or you're going to have the same argument over and over again, or the arguments are going to escalate quickly, or you don't trust each other. There is a total breakdown in the relationship.
We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward, and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. You're listening to Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on Transformation Talk Radio, and we're talking about couple trouble. Is your relationship on the rocks? I have received so many emails concerning this that I want to be able to answer a few on the air. Here are some. Here's an email from one of my listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my wife seems so emotional about every little thing. It's difficult for her to make a decision without her emotions getting in the way. I consider myself much more practical and logical. How do we get on the same page? Howard from Fairfield, Connecticut.
Thanks so much for your email, Howard. Sometimes this happens a lot with couples. One person thinks that one is too sensitive, and the other one thinks that his partner is not sensitive enough. Try to understand that the only way that sometimes you can get through to somebody is to have empathy for another person's feelings. One person will say something or do something that is not intended to hurt someone, and yet whatever said or done is interpreted as thoughtless or hurtful. When the other person reacts in anger, the person who did it is immediately confronted and confounded and bewildered and launches into defensive explanation, which only digs them into a deeper hole. Whether or not you feel like you did anything wrong, it's important to express empathy for your partner's bruised feelings. If you approach your wife with her sensitivities, you are never going to get anywhere. So just take a deep breath and realize that she wears her heart on her sleeve. Explain calmly and peacefully that you just want to analyze something by what I call putting it up on the whiteboard, trying to detach your emotions from it. See if you can make a simple decision without your feelings getting in the way. I understand that it's very difficult for someone who wears their heart on their sleeve all the time.
but I need you as a husband to be patient. Understand that she thinks with her heart and you may be thinking with your head. So try to compromise. Have a discussion about what it would mean for both of you to start thinking with your instinct, with your guts, which is devoid of emotion and feeling instinctively. Take a deep breath, relax, be patient. She will start to learn that feelings aren't facts. Here's another letter from one of my listeners. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, it's been ages since my partner and I had a true date night. We're always juggling kids and never have any time together. When we do have time alone, we're both exhausted and many times non-responsive to each other. What can I do to revitalize our partnership? Laura from Greensboro. Another major problem that couples have is that everybody's too busy focusing on everything else but the relationship, like kids or career. Couples really need time to develop their relationship together. And sometimes you actually have to schedule that time, just like you schedule time to be with the kids and the kids have scheduled activities and you go to work or your husband goes to work and you have specific scheduled times. You actually have to plan it. And the more you do that, the more it will open up your lives. After the initial intense experience of being in love, some people don't realize that marriage needs nurturing. It's not going to happen all by itself. If you let it keep running on autopilot and start bickering about it, you're going to get bored with each other. And then the intimacy disappears. Or worse than that, somebody has an affair. It's very important for you to take time for your marriage, just like you take time for everything else. Think of it as an investment in your health, in your well-being, in your marriage. There is nothing wrong with scheduling time together. You will both feel better about it. And scheduling time together does not only mean sitting on the couch, vegging out, watching TV with a bowl of popcorn between you. That date night has to be something special. Maybe your husband can pick one week and you can pick another week, but make sure that you do it with enthusiasm. Here's another letter from one of my listeners.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I wish my wife was better at seeing our issues from my perspective. It always seems to be about how she feels and doesn't always understand how I feel. How do I explain to her my point of view? Daniel from Silver Springs.
The number one challenge that couples have is how to communicate better. And I do believe it is a challenge. Marriage does mean communication. You are living with someone, and this not only includes communication about daily activities, but this also includes how to argue with your spouse. There are so many couples that say to me, or your partner even, there are so many couples that say to me, every single time we get into a fight, one of us threatens to leave. You can't do that. You have to know how to recognize, remember what pushes each other's buttons and understand how intolerable that is to both of you and really make an effort not to go there. Perhaps you can begin to talk better if you work with a therapist or a life coach. Communicating better is the kind of thing you can learn. Knowing how to do it in a more effective way is even easier if it's done from the start of a relationship. I have seen a great deal of increase in folks seeing premarital counseling or therapy or coaching, which is extremely encouraging. At the beginning, both partners are willing to do exactly what they need to do to have the relationship get off to the right start. Communication skills are extremely important in a relationship. Understand and be empathetic. Your idea in communicating is to come to an agreement, not to perpetuate conflict.
One must understand that avoiding arguments and conflicts is something that we always try to do. But when we are faced with such a thing with our partner, we have to understand the other person's point of view. And most importantly, we must listen so that we're not talking over each other and always trying to win. The object of a conflict is not to try to win, but to understand diplomacy and compromise. And the fact that every single argument should not fall into the category of now let's break up because things aren't working out. One of the best techniques that therapists and coaches use to make sure that both couples are actually listening to each other and seeing each other's point of view is to actually mirror each other. One person says something and the other person says, "So what I hear you saying is," and then repeats what he thinks the other person is saying. And then the other person has the opportunity to decide whether or not your partner has gotten it right. So try that with your wife. When she says something, say to her, "I think I understand you. I think this is what you are trying to say." And then when you talk, you ask her to tell you what she thinks you have said. That technique of mirroring will help you both see each other's point of view and understand each other. Want quick answers to things with no BS? Here's my segment, No or Yes.
When you need a quick answer, no BS. Ask the pushy broad and she'll say no or yes.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my husband and I rarely fight. I would say that we are, for the most part, conflict-free. Doesn't this make for a perfect relationship? The answer to that is no. Maybe you do need to say the things you need to say. If you're always on the same page, that's great. But if you're not, and you're just trying to avoid the conflict, then there can be a problem. Make sure that you and he remain individuals, which means that you get to speak your mind, even if you don't always agree with him. So examine what you mean by conflict-free. Make sure that you are on the same page and neither one of you is hiding your feelings. Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, my partner and I never seem to have enough fun together. We try to do things, but it just never seems to work out. We are always busy with running from place to place with different schedules. Do you think there's a problem with this? Yes. When you've been with someone for so long, the definition of date night sometimes loses its meaning. After all, the two of you can sit on the couch or pound away on your laptop side by side almost every night. And that doesn't mean quality time. Couples spend too much time on business calls or doing the chores of married couples and not enough time staying connected, having fun together. Remember what you did when you went out, when you first met? What are your interests, your passions? What fun things did you both like to do when you were dating? It takes work to keep a marriage. One of my recent podcasts says love is exercise. In order for a relationship to be successful and continue to be successful, it's really necessary to continue to foster the romantic and emotional connection between the two of you. Dates are extremely important. Do not underestimate them. Do you feel the need to cry about something that's bothering you? Well, I believe that you should do it, but I need you to take 10 minutes and then pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Here's my segment, 10 Minutes of Tears.
When you're feeling sad and kind of blue, rather lost and not really in it, don't stay angry, lost, or confused. 10 Minutes of Tears is certainly for you. Please cry, but only for 10 minutes.
Dear Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I seem to be obsessed with knowing where my partner is at all times. I text him constantly so that we have an immediate connection. I feel better about this. I don't understand why he doesn't want the same level of communication with me. I'm beginning to feel that he doesn't love me as much as I love him. What do you think? We have all heard the expression that when you love someone, you let them go. Turns out there's a lot of truth to the whole thing. Loving yourself before you love someone else idea. Rushing into a relationship before you have a good handle on who you are or who you want to be never ends well. Some people are in relationships just to help to fill the void or to fix what they're lacking or what they feel insecure about. A lot of people enter into relationships because there's attraction and there's chemistry. There's a lot about what they like, but there's also a lot of fantasy attached to it, that they hope the person that they're with will become who they want them to be. Couples like that really do not thrive. They don't understand how to accept the good and the bad in each other. If you're codependent, like it seems you are, it seems that you have to have someone else there in order for you to be secure and feel good about yourself. When we're codependent, we rely on the actions and feelings of others to make ourselves feel good. So, you need a coach or a therapist, because nobody should be texting somebody 1,200 times a day just to make sure that that person really loves you. That's an insecurity that stems from you and not your relationship. So pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Understand that you have to do the work. Nobody is going to want to be with you if you are that needy. And you will lose unless you get some real help. Here's my last segment. I'm talking here.
I'm talking here.
I'm talking here. Listen. Learn. Pay attention. I'm talking here. Let's face it. Statistically speaking, you're more likely to break up than to stay together. Although this isn't news, because one out of every two couples do end in divorce, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx hopes that your marriage will stay together. There are many obstacles that you have to overcome when couples have trouble. The number one obstacle, of course, is communication issues. As long as you understand that the mission between the two of you is to come together and not to stay apart, then you have a fighting chance. You must also learn that you must put the fun and dating back in your relationship. If you find that you have differences in relationship expectations, then you need to renegotiate together. It is always about diplomacy and conversation. If you find that you have differences in life's priorities, then see what your common ground is about. Do not give up. It is easier today than it is to stay together. Maybe you have an inability of one or both of you to manage your emotions. Learn how to deal with your emotions. Pre-couples, pre-marital counseling, finding a therapist, or maybe having a coaching session with the Pushy Broad from the Bronx so that you can rediscover your values and find that you are on the same page. Rekindle any trust issues. It is so much better to hear from couples who are happily married or partners that are staying together because they are truly working on their relationship. Take the time. It was worth it when you walked down the aisle. It is still worth it today. Make sure that you want the same things. And sometimes all that is the ability to stay together. This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening, and remember,
Everybody needs a little push.
From the push she brought from the Bronx, New York.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.